Hello, this is Mark Peacock, and welcome to the Travel Commons Podcast. This is Travel Commons Podcast number 38, recorded Thursday, May 4th, 2006. This is the podcast giving the voice of the traveler. It's more about the journey than the destination. We've got two topics on today's Travel Commons Podcast, the accidental vacation and trust the technology. Well, this week, coming to you today from the Huntington Beach Hilton Resort, right on Pacific Coast Highway here in sort of Surf City, USA. Another triangulation through the Golden State this week. I flew into San Francisco Monday night for dinner with a client. And given my less than stunning experience with the San Mateo Marriott, which I discussed in the last Travel Commons podcast, I decided to try out the Heavenly Bed in the San Francisco Airport Westin. Not bad, but I don't know, nothing special. Took a meeting Tuesday morning and then headed down here to Orange County. Actually, while I'm down here, I'm bouncing between a conference in Huntington Beach and a client a bit further south. So while I can see the beach from my room, and indeed you may be able to hear some of the traffic in the background off of PCH, I don't think I'll actually get a chance to feel any of the sand while I'm here. Lots of motion this week. I hope I actually get something accomplished. Had a good bit of fruitless motion last week trying to get home to Chicago from Orange County. You know, the last flight out of John Wayne Santa Ana Orange County Airport was just too early for me. I hate that American and United have dropped their late afternoon flights. As they've sort of decided to rationalize and shrink capacity to boost utilization, some of those flights that work very well for me have gotten dropped. But you got to say it's working. In the front page of the money section of today's USA Today, the newspaper of all travelers, airlines packed in more flyers last month. April jets more than 80% full. And I'll tell you, I felt it on this flight that I ended up taking, having to take the 6 o'clock flight out of LAX. So I ended up, given that I couldn't make the Orange County flight, I had to head up to 405, got on the 6 o'clock flight at LAX. I made sure I got there to LAX with good time. The security lines there can be brutal. Indeed, one of my colleagues who was flying back to Detroit on Northwest ended up, his TSA line was an hour, and he just barely made the flight. As I was driving up to the United terminal, looking up from the Hertz bus, sure enough, I saw the security line tailing back across the walkway that went over the access road and into the parking garage. And then the United email hit my BlackBerry. My flight was 30 minutes delayed. So, a bit of good news and bad news there. No worries about the TSA line. But my flight, which was originally due into O'Hare at midnight, was now going to be, a bit later. And I had a 6:30 wake-up call the next morning that just was not moving back. But then, as it so often happens, things just started stacking up. The plane arrived late with a maintenance problem. It seems that the indicator light for one of the emergency slides wasn't working. The maintenance crew boarded. 20 minutes later, our first update. They're still working on it. 30 minutes later, another update. They're still working on it. The gate agents, and I have to give them credit, I mean, there's nothing they could do, and they were sort of appropriately apologetic and try to be empathetic, but I'll tell you, at the end of the day, we weren't any closer to boarding, and I could just feel the night's sleep slipping away. Finally, something new. They found a new plane. It was coming in from Sacramento. They'd do a quick turn, and we'll be off. Just, walked out a couple of gates, so we all pack up our stuff and trundle off. Oh, nope. The captain took a wrong turn. Now we need to go over to the next terminal. So off we trundle again, luckily without having to pass through the TSA security lines again. The quick turn, turned into a bit more of a leisurely arc, and the clock kept ticking. So we finally boarded. I sit down in my exit row seat. It's the first window seat. It doesn't recline. We finally take off at 9 p.m., and have over 4 hours, of sitting straight up. I finally crawl into bed at 3:30 in the morning. My 6:30 wake-up time hadn't changed, and all of the United personnel's apologies, and they were very sincere, they were very nice people, but all those apologies still didn't make up for the fact that I was walking through a complete haze the next day. I'm flying American this week. Following up, David Chapman wrote in to correct a listener comment in Travel Commons number 37. In that podcast, a UK listener mentioned that Air New Zealand was rerouting its London Heathrow to New Zealand flight away from LAX, connecting through Hong Kong instead because of TSA hassles for in-transit passengers. David says, Air New Zealand is not abandoning its London to Auckland via LAX daily 747 service. Quite the contrary, the airline is by adding a London-Hong Kong-Auckland daily 747 service from October 28th, 06, aggressively promoting a round-the-world service using just one airline. He included a link to the press announcement, which I will include in the show notes. Continuing on with experiences from international travelers, another listener had some feedback on my thoughts, I don't know, call it a rant, about the problems caused by poor treatment of foreign tourists. He says, you know, you worry about how badly tourists are treated by your authorities. No worries. It's a small price to pay for the laugh we have at the forms we fill out. My favorite has to be asking if I have any live snails with me. I mean, who knew you were short of mollusks? And then there's the whole questioning of, am I a terrorist planning to overthrow the government or indeed be a drug dealer? I mean, come on. Who is ever going to answer yes? Even if you were a drug-dealing revolutionary terrorist, come on. I once showed a couple of U.S. citizens one of these forms, and they couldn't believe the stupidity of their government in asking such stuff. But it is hilarious. Well, thanks to everyone who sends along their thoughts and stories. The email address is comments, COMMENTS, at travelcommons, TravelCommons.com. Or you can post them at the website at travelcommons.com.
Moving down a lonely road, white lines flicker like a stroll, longing for the morning sun. Will the daylight ever come?
The first topic on today's Travel Commons podcast is the accidental vacation. Though I occasionally talk about rental cars on Travel Commons, I'm not a big car guy. I mean, I buy them and I drive them for a long time. I actually don't put that much mileage on them. They end up being parked at the airport lot most of the week. And actually, when I go into my office, on the rare occasions that I do down in the Loop, downtown Chicago, I actually end up just taking a train where I live. I've got about a 20-minute train ride down into the Loop. So the only time I drive my car is really on the weekend or to and from O'Hare. You know, however, even with limited amount of mileage, at some point, they just begin to wear out. And also, you know, what you wanted in a car back then is not what you want now. So I've decided to ditch my 95 Chevy Blazer with 95,000 miles for a convertible. Now, you might say that buying a convertible while living in Chicago is a bit impractical. And I'd agree with you. I mean, the convertible season in Chicago is not like it is here in Southern California. I mean, here, it's all round. Chicago, you can there may be a couple of days in March that you can get away pulling the top down if you crank the heat. You got to play that game into April, kind of in May, sort of May through September. You've got very good sort of consistent convertible weather, and then after that, it starts to break down again. But then again, when is a convertible ever practical? And you know, consumer research has time and again showed that an automobile purchase is the most emotional purchase made. I mean, it's not about practicality; it's a statement about who you are, or you know, if you're buying a hybrid, what you believe in. So anyhow, with two kids still at home, I'm moderating my impracticality by looking for a four-seat convertible. Further limiting that to one that I can afford significantly restricted the possibilities. Now, if this was a car podcast, I'd go into the gory details about my decision process, but it's not, so I'll cut to the chase. I decided to get a Saab 9-3 Aero convertible. And during my shopping, the Saab sales guy at one dealership suggested that I look into their European delivery option. They give you a nice discount on the car, $2,000 towards your transportation costs, and if you pick it up in the plant at Trollhättan in Sweden, a free night and a dinner in their hotel and a plant tour the next morning. You drive the car around on your vacation and drop it off when you're done, and they ship it back to the U.S. for you. I'll put a link in. I'll put a link on the in the show notes to their website. Well, this sounded like a great deal. Now, a few years back, I had done some work with the guys at Saab USA outside of Atlanta, so I shot one of them a note, and he quickly got back to me telling me, "Do it." He said the European delivery option has been really relaunched in a big way the last year, and customers are raving about it. Now, I can't say that Sweden has made it onto our gotta go before we die list. I was in Stockholm and actually the university in Uppsala for 3 days about 15 years ago in November. Really nice place from what I could see in the dark, but nothing to make me want to rush back, and that, and I'm just not a big herring fan. Also, we were kind of planning to lay low this summer, maybe head down to South Carolina, Hilton Head with some friends, but nothing big because we've got some bigger vacation plans coming up. In October, I'll be taking my daughter and my mother to London for a long Columbus Day weekend. I did this with my son when he was in fourth grade. I took he and my dad, and now my daughter will be in fourth grade this fall, and I'll take her and my mom, and we'll go over to London and just sort of knock around. And then next spring, a much bigger thing, where we're planning to head down to South Africa for 2 weeks with a couple of families, stay in a friend's house. And now here, we're trying to think about booking something now the end of April for an early July trip to Europe. I mean, right in the teeth of the high season. Nah, you know, this just isn't going to work. But I kept asking myself, why not? I mean, why not? So, in a little bit of time, I called up American and United just to confirm that I couldn't use my frequent flyer miles, because that would really sort of, that would ice the deal. I mean, so United was my first choice because they're in the Star Alliance with SAS, but as I suspected, no seats available, neither on SAS nor on United. And then I called American, who's in Oneworld with British Airways, and I ended up with a great woman who, honest to God, worked her keyboard for 30 minutes and ended up stitching together an itinerary that gets us over via Montreal and London and back via Switzerland and New York. I mean, it's not a pretty itinerary, but it was an itinerary, and you know, I have to give American kudos here. The agent could have easily blown me off, but here she was working hard to get me 4 free tickets to Stockholm. And you know, this isn't a fluke. I had a great experience with American last summer when I used mileage for our summer trip to France and Hungary. They didn't give me any pretzels on the 4.5-hour flight to San Francisco this past Monday, but I'll tell you, they've done a great job by me with free flights, and I guess I'll take that trade. So, okay, I've got tickets and I got a car, but do we want to go to Sweden? You know, I start talking about this to people, and pretty soon, you know, these stories start flowing. On the sidelines of my daughter's soccer match last weekend, a mother of one of the other girls tells me that they loved their vacation there two summers ago. And another mother, overhearing this conversation, tells me that her brother-in-law picked up his Saab at the plant and really enjoyed it. And then, flipping through National Geographic Traveler magazine over my long wait at LAX last week, their Secret Europe article pushes the Stockholm archipelago as an island-hopping alternative to the Greek Isles. The why not question isn't getting any answer. I'm not coming up with a negative on this. And so this sort of accidental vacation just seems to keep moving forward. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought some of our best travel experiences have been the products not of deep research and careful planning, but of pure serendipity, be it stumbling onto the World Beach Chukball Championship in Geneva, Switzerland, as I described in Travel Commons number 8, or discovering the hill town of Fiesole because we just couldn't find a hotel room in Florence. Is it because with no expectations we're pleasantly surprised by the slightest thing? Or is it because without any preconceived notions we're sort of more open to what a place has to offer? I don't know, but whatever the answer is, we're off to Sweden the first week in July to pick up my convertible. And to all the listeners, any suggestions on where to drive that new car with the top down on the Nordic Peninsula would be greatly appreciated. Send them into comments at travelcommons.com. Right here in my second-rate place, everything goes my way. Just go to my second-rate place. The second topic on today's Travel Commons podcast, trust the technology. Now, you know, sometimes it seems we get wrapped up a bit too tightly around the technology. The one option I didn't order on my new Saab was GPS navigation, the sat-nav. I mean, for $2,000, I just didn't see the value. As I've mentioned before, I don't put that much mileage on my cars. I'm typically driving around the Chicago area, and I usually have a pretty good idea where I'm going. I've used sat-nav, though, on travel, and I found it pretty useful. In Travel Commons number 25, I told the story of my 550-mile drive from Memphis to Chicago with two other guys after an early winter storm in Chicago canceled our flight home. One of the guys had a GPS palm device that he stuck on the window of our rental car, and it was gave us sort of a nice countdown on the ride home, which over what was a very long night. Gave us that sense that we were actually making progress as we were going 30 miles an hour through ice slick interstates. However, you know, sometimes people put a bit too much faith in their sat navs. A few years ago, a couple of us were driving around Berkeley, California, in a Hertz rental car equipped with their Neverlost, Hertz's add-on GPS system, and it's a little pod thing, sort of sticks up out of the floor on a flexible stick, sort of right in front of that center console. I was riding shotgun and studying the Hertz map pretty intently because none of us were very familiar with the East Bay, and we were late getting out of our meeting, and we're now in a bit of a hurry to get back over the bay and over to SFO to catch our flight back home. And we were looking for the freeway on-ramp, and I was listening to the Neverlost woman, and it's always a woman's voice on these sat-navs, isn't it? While we were tracking our progress on the paper map, and I don't know, she seemed a bit out of phase, like sort of a half a block late on every intersection. And I mentioned this to Brian, the driver. Can't be, he said. You got to trust the technology. Okay, so, well, you know, he's a driver. I'm riding shotgun. So I could tell from the map that we were coming up on the 580 entrance, and then I saw it. I said, Brian, there it is. Nope, not yet, he said. You got to trust the technology. 10 seconds later, Neverlost told us to turn right, which Brian did, right into a gas station. Was it a subtle hint? If so, it was lost on us. We spent 5 minutes circling back to that on-ramp that I spotted. Now, while embarrassing for Brian, we only lost 5 minutes. We still made our flights. However, Udayan Tripathi, in a clip from his Life in London podcast, relates how some folks in the UK who have trusted the technology more than their eyes have had a bit of trouble.
The first story of the week, which was posted in Engadget on April 20th, which it's quite a strange story. There's a village in England called Crackpot. I'm not making this up, it's an actual place. And around this region, the GPS systems in vehicles seem to be making serious errors. This is a post written by Mark Burton. We've heard reports before about the dangers of driving under the influence of GPS, but it looks like the drivers in the UK have taken the trust of their navigation units to the extreme. In the most recent case, drivers passing through the village of Luckington have found themselves landing in the River Avon, followed by a GPS-recommended route that pointed to a bridge that has been closed for a week. Despite warning signs on both sides of the roads and nothing but water straight ahead, local villagers have found themselves pulling an average of 2 cars a day out of the river for the past week. When asked what happened, the driver generally says, "My sat-nav told me it was this way." The village of Crackpot has had to deal with drivers whose navigation systems have directed them to the edge of a cliff with a 100-foot drop. So far, there have been no serious injuries, but drivers have found themselves stranded on a rocky path. One resident says it's only a matter of time before something happens. Alright, so GPS is a great tool, and it does prevent you having to stop and ask for directions, which can be a little annoying. However, relying on it completely can obviously be quite unsafe, and ignoring what is clearly visible, such as no bridge or a 100-foot drop, because your GPS tells you to continue driving, is a pretty dumb idea.
Thanks to Udayan for letting me play that bit from his podcast. I'll put a link to the whole episode in the show notes. I don't know. Trusting your instruments while flying makes sense, but I think my eyes are still the best technology to use while driving. Okay, that's it. That's the end of Travel Commons podcast number 38. I hope you all enjoyed this podcast, and I hope you decide to stay subscribed. All the music today was from the Podshow Music Network, music.podshow.com. The artists' names and titles will be in the show notes, so please take a peek. Actually, one thing I'd like to ask everybody this month in May is, if you pick up this podcast from the RSS feed, if everybody could go and just hit the travelcommons.com website once. You know, I've got that little cluster map that maps the IP addresses of people who hit the website, puts them on a world map. And I get really sort of jazzed when, like, somebody from the middle of China is listening to this podcast. But what I would ask everybody is, if this month, if you don't normally go to the website, if you could just take a moment to just go to travelcommons.com, hit the website so that your IP address registers on that cluster map. I don't know, I just like to see where everybody is that's listening to the podcast. I appreciate it. Also, we're coming up on the one-year anniversary of Travel Commons, and I'm starting to think about what to do for a one-year anniversary show. And if anybody's got any suggestions on topics or clips, just please send them in to comments at travelcommons.com. I'd appreciate your guys' thoughts. And as always, not only your thoughts, but if you've got stories, comments, anything, the voice of the traveler, send them along, text or MP3 file. Again, the hotline is comments, COMMENTS, at travelcommons.com, or post them on our website at travelcommons.com. Thanks to everyone who has taken the time to send in emails, audio files, or post comments on the website. So take care. I'm off. It's Thursday morning recording this. I'm trying to get out of my hotel room. I've got the American flight back, actually out of Orange County this time. I got that 3:30 flight back to O'Hare. And given that I'm an American, they've got I'll get in-seat power supply, so I'll probably get this thing all edited up and the RSS feed updated. And so when I get home tonight, I'll push it up to the server, and hopefully you guys will pick it up first thing Friday morning. So take care and have a good weekend. Bye now.
I was born.